tired, I'm worn. My heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes. I've let my hope fail. My soul feels crushed by the weight of this world.
It's easier to say than to be. Live like angels of apathy. We tell ourselves it's alright, somebody else will do something.
Hope Show listeners, I'm so happy that all of you have joined me here today to hear God's message. It's a wonderful day to serve Him. In 2 Corinthians 9:8, the Bible says, God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. And you know, this reminds me of that song. I'm not sure if I'm going to pronounce this fellow's last name correctly, but Don Mohan sings, God is good all the time. And he says, in this song, his chorus says, God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good, yes, He is, all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good, yes, He is. God is good all the time. And I don't know about you, friends, but God has put a song of praise in my heart. And yes, in the darkest night, His light does always shine. Amen for that. And so today's message is going to be about sowing seeds. But before we get started, I would like to go ahead and have us all bow our head in an opening prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for this day that You have blessed us with. Thank You for waking each of us up to see another day and for us to have another day to be about Your kingdom work. Thank You for joining all of us together to worship You and praise You, listen to Your message, and learn more about You. Thank You for this time of fellowship that we are sharing here today. I pray that You would open the eyes, quicken the step, and soften the heart of the listeners in the audience today. I pray that this message would speak to every listener, and if you have a special message for someone in particular, that this person or persons would receive Your message. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask that You would anoint this vessel and that I would only speak what it is that You would have me to say. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, Amen. Thank you, friends, for joining me in that moment of prayer. Let's go ahead and get started. Today's message is about sowing seeds. And so I want to ask you, what does that mean to you? As most of you might think, when I think of sowing seeds, my mind goes back to my childhood days where I was born and raised on the farm. I think of planting seeds in the soil in early spring with the purpose of reaping a good harvest in the fall. Maybe some of you think of gardening, planting flowers or vegetable seeds in the soil. All of these things are correct. But biblically speaking, it goes much deeper than this. The answer to the question, what is sowing seeds? Is to sow a seed simply means to plant it. Our words and our deeds are seeds. When you say or do something, it will either plant a seed pointing in the direction of God, or it can sow a seed of destruction, which is not of God. We must be very careful and aware of what seeds we are sowing in the lives of those around us, and even in our own life. The Word of God uses this as a metaphor to describe the concept of working to achieve something positive. Jesus often spoke in parables in the Bible. And parables are stories that use objects, situations, and so on that are common to man in order to make the story relatable to man, breaking things down in a way that we can understand. And so today's key verse is found in Matthew 13, verses 2 through 8 and verses 18 through 21. Or 29, excuse me. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came out, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. And yet still, other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. And now, starting verses 18 through 29. Listen, then, to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is a seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the world, they quickly fall away. The seed falling amongst the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Now going on into the parable of the weeds, verses 24 through 29. Jesus told them this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seeds in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from? An enemy did this, he replied. The servants then asked him, Do you want us to go out and pull them? No, he answered, because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at that time, I will tell the harvesters to first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, and then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn. Friends, under the right conditions, good soil, when we fulfill the terms of planting, it will produce results for us. In Galatians 6, 7 through 8, the Bible tells us, Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth to his flesh, shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Friends, life is about sowing and reaping. It is all about the seeds. The seeds that we are planting, the kinds of seeds that we are sowing and planting today. So let me explain it this way. Our lives are like the field or a garden. And every day we are sowing seeds in our field. Whether you realize it or not, we are sowing seeds. Our thoughts are seeds. Our words are seeds. Whatever becomes of our life, whatever becomes of us, is first sowed in our mind and in our heart. Bad seeds produce bad fruit. Good seeds produce good fruit. When the Bible speaks of the flesh, it's not talking about our body. It's talking about our mind and the way we reason. Our thought process outside of the influence of the Word of God. When you sow to the flesh, it means that when disaster strikes, we look to the world for our answers. And sowing to the flesh means that we are being dominated by negativity. What thoughts dominate your mind every day? Negative thoughts domino down to negative actions. We manifest our outside world through the thoughts that are in our mind. I always say that wherever your mind travels, therefore your body will also. And so, what dominates your mind primarily? Positive thoughts or negative thoughts? Because that determines the fruit that you're going to bear, the harvest that you will reap. Does negativity or positivity dominate your thoughts? Because, friends, we reap what we sow. Let's keep that in mind. The Word of God is the only seed we need. Because the Word of God is incorruptible. And the more of God's good seed that we have, we will not harvest corruption. Oh yes, the devil will try to get us to sow the wrong seeds. But if we do, friends, I'm here to tell you there will be serious consequences. As a child, I grew up being a farm girl. When my parents were in the fields, so was I. I was the one driving the grain trucks back and forth across the field. I started that at age 7. Can you believe that? I'm not sure I could put my children behind the wheel at the age of 7. But those days were a different time, and parents and grandparents did what they had to do. And so anyway, that was my job. I was the one driving the grain truck back and forth across the field, keeping up with my dad, who was using a farm implement to plant seeds of beans, wheat, or corn. When the planter ran out of seeds to sow, I would bring my dad the seed and help carry all the seed from the back of the grain truck to where my dad stood at the planter, waiting for me to bring the seed so that he could fill up the planter. And then off he would go again. Dad always tried to plant the very best of seeds. Remember, you reap what you sow. So in order to reap a better crop in the fall, the seeds had to be some of the best. Afterwards, he would fertilize the ground so that the good seed would produce. Our family mostly reaped an abundant harvest from the fields and from the large garden my mother always put out each year. We knew what kind of seeds to plant for the best results. But when we don't sow the right kinds of good seeds, friends, we reap a bad harvest. And this is especially true with children. You must set the example from birth, planting positive thoughts in their minds, planting Bible truth, giving them all the best knowledge that you can, and teach them to grow up right. Look at the world today. Look at the youth of today. It's clear almost right away what seeds have been planted in their mind. A lot of parents, I hate to say this, but it's true, have dropped the ball in this day and age. Friends, I came from a totally different generation than that of today. My generation didn't get by with as much as today's generation. We were taught good character, how to treat people right, and believe me, they were quick to correct us if we were wrong. And then we got corrected when we got home, too. We were taught to respect our elders and to not interrupt others, to respect God. When we ate, everyone was present. Most importantly, Dad was present. We sat at the kitchen table and we ate as a family. No one started eating until Dad was seated and got his plate of food started first. We were taught to be thankful for the food that we had, to be thankful for everything we had, the roof over our head, the finances, the clothing, everything, and to not be wasteful in anything. You ate what was served, even if you didn't particularly care for it. Leftovers were quite common growing up. Mom fixed big meals, and we ate off of this until it was gone. You were expected to try a little bit of everything on your plate. We were not encouraged to be picky eaters. We were not indulged with a lot of sweets or continual snacking throughout the day. We were too busy working around the house, the garden, or the rest of the farm. You never ran out of work to do, and you never had enough time to be bored. Schoolwork was to be done before you did anything else. And that's just a few examples of how I was raised. It wasn't always an easy childhood, but it certainly built character. And it built strong faith, independence, courage, confidence, and a whole bunch of other things. And oftentimes we were praised for a job well done afterward. It's almost like living in a completely different world now. I fully believe that my generation is a dying generation. And when we are gone, it will most likely be the end of that generation and the belief system forever. There will be parents, such as myself and others, that are from my generation that have taught their children these same characters and belief system. But there's also a lot of others who have strayed away. And so therefore, their children will be astray also, unless of some divine intervention, God puts someone in their path, as he did for me, to plant that seed. So, it saddens me, really, It saddens me a great deal to have heard of the stories of how my grandparents and my parents were raised and how they carried down those beliefs to me and my brother as we grew up. When we were all you know, when we are all gone, this generation, who will teach this generations and the generations to come right from wrong? Who will teach our children about God? You know, folks, people wonder why they are so unhappy. Unhappy with their lives, their marriages, their job, their many other relationships. Unhappy about how they look or how they feel. But hold up a moment. What thoughts are dominating their mind? Negativity produces bad seeds, and it's impossible to produce good fruit when there is so much negativity. Sometimes people want to blame God for the bad harvest in their lives, but it's not God's fault. The Bible plainly says in Hosea 8:7, "For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind." It hath no stalk, the bud shall yield no meal. If so be it to yield, the stranger shall swallow it up. Many of you are sowing seeds of depression, speaking and claiming illness over your lives, just to name a few, when you should be sowing seeds of love, faith, hope, goodness, and all the rest of the nine fruits of the Spirit, among other things. Friends, never make any room for doubt in your mind. Do not accept it. The devil will try to put it there in your mind. He will plant that seed. But we don't have to accept the bait. You know, we just tell God, or we just tell Satan, you know. We just tell him, "I don't serve you. I serve God. Get behind me." And when you tell him that, he has to do that. Always try to talk positive to yourself. And continually be in prayer and study of God's Word. Jesus never fails us. And we need to be teaching our children this. And so friends, right now, this seems like a good stopping place for a break. And I hope that all of you will stay tuned in for the second half of today's message.
I was blind, now I'm seeing in color. I was dead, now I'm living forever. I had failed, but you were my redeemer. I've been blessed beyond all measure. I was lost, now I'm found by the Father. I've been changed from a ruin to treasure. I've been given a hope and a future. I've been blessed beyond all measure. I am counting every blessing, counting every blessing, letting go and trusting when I cannot see. I am counting every blessing, counting every blessing. Surely every season you are good to me. to me.
I'm counting every blessing. I'm counting every blessing. Letting go and trusting when I cannot see. Oh, I'm counting every blessing. I'm counting every blessing. Show me every season. You are good to me.
Hope Show listeners, I'm happy that you have stayed tuned in, and if you're just now tuning in, then welcome. I'm happy to have you joining us. Today's message is about sowing seeds in our lives and in the lives of all of those around us. And the key verse of the day is found in Matthew 13. It's about the parable of the farmer and the parable of the weeds. I don't have a lot of time to go back and and recap what we've already talked about. But if you are just tuning in, then I encourage you to look up in your Bible Matthew 13 and read the chapter. Also, the podcast of today's message will be up on the Shaziz.com website later on in the day. So if you want to go back and listen to the entire message, you can, or if you just want to share it with a friend, you can do that also. So before the break, we were talking about what kinds of seeds we are planting. Are we planting bad seeds of negativity, or are we planting good seeds of positivity? Which kind of a harvest do you believe that you are producing with your thoughts, your deeds, and your actions? If you believe that you are not being very fruitful right now, it's never too late to turn that around. And some food for thought, too. Seeds will always produce after its own kind. And so that goes back to you reap what you sow. You know, so whatever you plant is going to come back to you twofold. And so we want to make sure that we are sowing the right seeds in our life. When you sow a seed into the kingdom of God and you water it with your faith, you can sleep and wake and the harvest will grow up without you doing anything else. Natural laws follow spiritual laws. If it works in the earth, it's because it already works in heaven. There is also an appointed time for the harvest. You know, you don't plant in the spring and harvest in the summer. You don't plant in the fall and expect a winter harvest. There is an appointed time for everything. Don't give up because of impatience or doubt. The Lord says, "You have not because you ask not." In the Bible, we are all seen as farmers. We scatter spiritual seeds across the field of life. Seeds of grace, joy, mercy, love, kindness, compassion, forgiveness, faith, anger, hatred, bitterness, unforgiveness, just to name a few. And as surely as the sun rises, these seeds will bear fruit at the appointed hour, at harvest time. What fruit they produce is determined by what kinds of seeds they are. Seeds of corruption and destruction, or seeds of the Spirit reaping life ever after. Friends, every action, big or small, every word, every good deed or evil deed is a seed that we plant. Every seed produces something, whether you think so or not. Friends, I have a serious question for you to ponder in your own life. When you look at your life today, when you look at the lives of the people that you care about the most, when you look at everything that is happening around you, in your immediate circle, and in our country, in the world, what are your deepest hopes? I'm talking about the kinds of hope that get a hold of you and won't let you go. The longings that drive your life, that shake you up. The prayer that never goes away. I'm asking about the things in which you would invest all that you are and all that you have. Your life, your energy, your effort, your money, your time, your love. I want each of you to dig deep inside yourselves as you answer this question. What are the hopes that seem too good to be true? The things that bring tears to your eyes, that you may have never shared with anyone else. Those are the things that I want you to speak them to yourself. Name them one by one. For many of you, it might be, you know, about a relationship, intimate or otherwise, you know, any relationship. It may be about a quality of life, love, well-being, wholeness, meaning, profound joy, deep peace, forgiveness. Excuse me. Excuse me, folks. Justice, salvation for your family, to cure a disease, get the homeless off the street, stop sex trafficking. It could be anything. Whatever you just named, that hope carries the seed of life in you. So, it's asking something of you. It's a call and an insistence waiting to be planted and given existence. Isn't that beautiful? It's a call. It's asking something of you. It's an insistence waiting to be planted and given existence. Sometimes you live to see the good fruit in whatever you named, but sometimes you don't. You know, one of the things that often comes to my mind that I think about is both sets of my grandparents, on my mom's and my dad's side. They were both sets of parents, grandparents, were faithful believers, and they were involved in their church and in their community. My grandpa on my dad's side was a deacon, and my grandma on that side played the piano. And my grandparents on my mother's side, they never missed a chance to be in the church. Whether it was a meal, or a Bible study, or whatever. And on Sundays, their church, every Sunday, a different family put on a meal, and for the whole day, that's where you were at. You were fellowshipping with other believers. And Sunday was sacred. You did not work on those days. You just did not do it. It was a sacred day for God only. So, they raised my parents up in church, and I know that they must have prayed for all of their grandchildren and for the salvation of their grandchildren. And both sets of my grandparents passed a very long time ago. But I am living proof of a seed planted a very long time ago, and now long past their expiration dates, their seed is still producing good fruit in me. I'm a faithful believer. I am involved in many things of my church and community, and I am planting seeds, good seeds, for my children and my grandchildren in hopes that one day I will see the fruit of that labor. And so, it's getting close to time to wrap this up, and so I want to leave you with a few thoughts. You know, really, five things to remember when you're sowing seeds. The right way to do this. And so, the first thing is, this kind of sounds a little funny, but it's not meant to be. First thing you need to remember is you are a sower, a farmer, not a scarecrow. Make sure you do what is right, regardless of what is going on around you. Jesus explained that some of the sower seeds were eaten up by the birds and therefore did not yield fruit. But you know, it's not your job to guard your seed. It is your job to sow it. Sometimes a good deed will need to be done for someone who will not appreciate it. Don't fight it. Just sow it. Just sow the seed. Do not expect all seeds to yield fruit. This is the second thing you need to remember. Not all your good actions will bring about good results. According to the Bible, only 25% of the seeds produced a harvest. Unfortunately, not every good deed is going to come back to us multiplied. If you do what is right only because of the results you get from doing good, the moment you do not receive good results, you will have found an excuse to stop doing what is right. The third thing to remember is the harvest depends upon the field, not the seed, not the sower. It depends on the field. If your good action gets a bad reaction, it's not necessarily because you did something wrong. If a seed does not produce a harvest, it doesn't mean that the sower is inefficient. It doesn't mean that the seed is bad. Most of the time, it simply means that the field it fell on was not ready to receive it. This doesn't mean that you do not sow in a bad field. It means that you do not beat yourself up when you do not get the harvest that you hoped for. The seed is the Word of God. And the Word of God, as we know, is faultless. The sower did what he needed to do, and that is to sow the seed in the field. Sometimes the field is the problem. If a harvest doesn't occur sometimes, just make sure it isn't because that there was no seed sown to begin with. The fourth thing we need to remember is the miracle isn't really in the sowing. It's in the harvest. Once you get into the habit of sowing seeds daily, the action may seem almost automatic. But don't be fooled into overlooking the importance of your everyday actions. You never know which action or which seed is going to produce an amazing harvest. It is like God to use an ordinary seed to produce an extraordinary harvest. And it's a fact that doing the right thing sets us up for divine blessings. And the fifth thought that I want to leave with you today is, yes, sowing will be draining. Doing what is right can be very wearisome. It can tire you out. Sowing is a job that needs to be done intentionally, purposefully, and effectively. And remember that it demands attention, time, resources, and energy. Sowing oftentimes depletes the sower. But that's why God reminds us, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. And that is found in Galatians 6:9. So, friends, one last thing. Let us not cease in sowing, because that is what God has created us to do. Let us not cease in our prayers, because it says in the Bible that we have not because we ask not. And don't be discouraged, folks, if, like I just said, you don't always see or reap the results that you had anticipated. And who's to know? Just like my grandparents so many years ago, probably over 100 years by now, who would have guessed that those seeds that they sowed so many years ago in the lives of my parents would have then been passed down to their grandchildren, me, my brother, and my cousins, and then to their great-grandchildren, and so on and so forth down through the generations. Friends, just because we may never see the seed that we planted come to harvest in our time here on earth does not mean that it will not be harvested years and years and years down the road. In our family, in our children, grandchildren, in our friends. You know, every life that we touch, every path that we cross, while we are living on earth, is an opportunity to plant a seed. Think of all the many, many, many seeds that we plant, that we sow every day. Then multiply that into months and years. Wow, that's incredible. That's just almost beyond our comprehension of the number of seeds we will sow in our lifetime. And the goal is to plant the seed of God, the Word of God, to get that out to everyone before Jesus' second coming. So, I'm going to wrap this up, and if I could get you all to bow your heads for a closing prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for growing each of us from a mere seed. And you say in the Bible that if we just have faith of a mustard seed, so tiny, so tiny, we can move mountains. Thank you for the seed you have given each of us. Help us to sow good seeds in faith and by faith daily. We are believing in you for a mighty harvest in eternity and favor and open doors here on earth. We are believing in you and declaring that for our families that yet are not saved, that you would send us as a light to guide them, or to send other believers into their path of all of our loved ones, all of our friends, and that they would receive their salvation before the second coming. We thank you in advance for these answered prayers. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. So, friends, until next Saturday, same time, same place, I want to say God bless each and every one of you and your families, and may God put a hedge of protection around each of us and our families, our mind, our body, our soul. Just protect and watch over us. Amen.
Though the music changes and the songs we sing, we still lift our praises to our loving God and King. Though the music changes and the songs we sing, we still lift our praises to our loving God and King. Seasons change, been faithful to plant the seed, and you will be faithful to always send your rain. Lord, you've been faithful to plant the seed.